This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured. Figure out every avenue to save you money, because customer service means everything to them. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We think that the suit ended up throwing at his kid. I will tell you one story of a kid I hit in batting practice once. So I'm out there throwing batting practice. I'm over at Daleview. I'm throwing it, throwing it, throwing it. And I got a kid comes up. And the kid steps, like, onto the plate. And the ball hits him in the knee. Right? Oh, my God. Now, he stepped, like, onto the plate. I don't mean just touching the plate, like his entire foot's on the plate. So what does that mean, of course, Todd? It's a strike. Okay. And he's on the ground, he gets up, and he says to one of the kids, he goes, "Mr. Jones got me with his fastball." And the other kid looked at him, he goes, "I can tell you that's not Mr. Jones's fastball." Like, okay. All right, somebody who has the fastball every time we talk to him, that's Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
Anytime you line up over the plate, you're asking for trouble. That you're just brushing him back by throwing a strike.
Hey, I threw it down the middle. He stepped squarely on the plate. I'm like, I was trying to get him to, like stride toward me. Here I am, this way, toward me. Right? And he kept stepping on the plate, and I was like, oh, jeez. And finally, he stepped on right when the ball was coming by. Like, oops. Okay. Okay. Like, there were no lawsuits or anything like that. Parents were pretty cool about it, as opposed to the
different era.
Guy. Yeah, they kind of looked at him like the parents saw it and went, "That was a strike." I said, "Yeah, I know."
Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like. In fact, the parent apologized to me. "I'm really sorry he did." I said, "What are you talking about? I feel bad that it happened." All right. Now, the other guy that we work with would be screaming, like, "How could you do that to my kid?" I'm like, "Oh, I threw a strike. That's why the big triangle thing is there." All right. So, Quez Watkins is now a Steeler. Changes everything. No?
Before, like, a. More like a secondary free agency move. I'm not sure where else Quez Watkins was getting interest, but you know, you got 53 guys on a roster. Not all.
He's one of them.
George Pickens. Yeah. Now they've got him, and they there's always a guy, you know, a guy that's going to be out there in case bad things happen. But I wonder, and amazingly, no one asked Mike Tomlin at the owners' meeting about the Watkins signing. Specifically, but I wonder if he's not seen as a gunner, a special teams guy. Yeah. He's got very limited kick returning ability. I think with the new kickoff rules, that I don't know about you, I can't even visualize how they're doing it.
Maybe they
see some utility with that. I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, you know, every team's got probably at least five receivers, and a lot of them are going to be kind of like Quez Watkins, you know, not really especially overall productive. Maybe they have a trait like he does. He can run pretty fast. But at this point in his career, I mean, the one thing he's known for is dropping that pass in the Super Bowl. That's unfortunate. I'm not sure he's going to have a better opportunity to make a legacy in the league than that. But you hope he can, you know, show up, do his job, and help the team win a few games.
All right, so let's talk about the new rules. Again, you and I can't I can't envision the kickoff rule. I don't quite get it. And you know what's interesting? I find it interesting. One of the reasons where touchbacks have been just fine with the league is because you don't get any injuries on touchbacks. This is what I find interesting about this. They want to promote more returns. Well, make up your mind. Do you want the safety part of it, or do you want more collisions? What do you want?
Yeah, I think they went the long way as far as all but nullifying kickoff returns. They would argue that there's some strategy to it because, you know, in theory, you don't have to kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. It's like, okay, well, all of them do. So clearly, right, most teams feel that there's an advantage to this. The kicker doesn't miss often either. They're not, you know, if they chip it up, there's a reason. They want to generate a return. Mike Tomlin's teams tend to seem to want to do that. It seems like that's a philosophical approach, comparatively speaking. But NFL kickers are going to boot the ball out of the end zone if they have the opportunity to do it. Now, with this, it seems like you take away the idea of a surprise onside kick, which I hadn't really thought of at first as being a significant part of it, but if the guys up front have to watch for that, then that's going to affect how they're going to set up the return, where they're going to build. You can't call it a wall, but whatever it is, the primary wedge is going to be. It plays a part to have to stay back and make sure that there's not an onside kick. So eliminating that, I think, fits with it. And they want to de-incentivize touchbacks by not giving them as much yardage as what they had, and you put it into a certain spot so everyone kind of knows this is where it's going. My head hurts at this point. You know, you don't want to do away with the kickoffs because you don't want to be the people that oversaw the kickoff being eliminated from the game. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing. It doesn't really happen in pro sports as much anymore. All professional sports saw massive rule changes back in the 60s and the 70s. I don't think that they really want to have to do that unless they're backed into a corner like baseball that dramatically changed a bunch of rules last year. And, you know, frankly, it looks better. And maybe that's what the NFL is thinking now. They can get a better product out of this. At the end of the day, for me, I think it's a kick return. I don't know really how much it matters. I tend to see more frustration coming from that than anything positive. So just my biased opinion. Let's see what happens. I'm okay with that. I do like that there is some, you know, as much a connection to playing the actual game as you can get. My biggest issue, I help me out. I forget which team it is that proposed it. The Eagles that wanted to do the 4th-and-20 thing to get the ball back instead of an onside kick. That type of stuff drives me crazy. This is dumb. This is not the game. It's not how the game has been played. You can't have radical departures to the structure of, you know, rewards and penalties at this point in the history of the game. You know, in the kickoff, I don't think really modifies that a whole lot. And it does create some value in the sense that you're getting use out of the guys who are there. Because right now, really, they're healthy bodies by the end of the year. There's not really any strategic element on kickoffs in particular. There's a lot more on punts. But on kickoffs, there's nothing really there. I think adding an element like that can bring something. I'm not sure at the end of the day how big it's going to be, but it's better than what they were doing, probably.
Right. So then the other part is the tackle rule. Jack Hamm and I have talked about this in the broadcast many times. You know, because there'll be something that happens, a low tackle or somebody tackling up near the shoulder pad or the helmet or whatever. And Jack and I will talk about, like, it's difficult for a defensive player as to know, like, what the target area really is, especially when bodies are moving everywhere. What does this now do? Does anybody know what a legal tackle is anymore based on this rule?
I think you're asking that question a year too early. I think we're going to have that spelled out quite a bit during the season. And unfortunately, it's not going to be because while the NFL is running out of adjectives to use on all these different techniques that fans don't know anything about, a hip drop tackle probably is said hip drop because they don't want to say butt or the other word, but that's really what it is. Right. You're grabbing onto a guy from behind and you are dropping your rear end to the ground. If you look at it in a vacuum, in that context, it is dangerous in the same sense that a horse collar tackle is dangerous. Yeah. It really is kind of the same thing, just coming from a different perspective. I understand what they're trying to do with that. I do think, though, you don't have a safe way to take a runner to the ground from behind like that, and from the side in some instances. And what people say is keep your feet moving. Like, okay, well then, you know, Mark Andrews, one of the people who unfortunately got hurt on one of these last year and kind of became the centerpiece of it all, is 6'6", 250 pounds. If it's a safety in the open field who somehow Andrews is behind and the safety has to get him, he's not, you know, he doesn't have enough force to drag, to put Andrews on the ground from behind going forward. It couldn't happen. He's got to, you know, his point is to restrict him from moving forward. So how else does he do that? Physically, it's hard to see what they would do instead. So like most things with the NFL, what they're asking is for the officials to call penalties as opposed to actually making the game safer. You know, and I know that that's simplistic, and there's only so many things they can do in a violent game to really make it safer. The NFL wants to represent itself as doing everything that it can to ensure the safety of the players who are out there. The hip drop tackle, I can see as being inherently dangerous. Things like what happened to Andrew and what happened to Le'Veon Bell back in 2015,
right.
Maybe those things are avoided, but at the end of the day, the defenders that made those tackles would have gotten a penalty. Like, okay, that doesn't change the fact the Ravens were without one of the best tight ends in the game for a good chunk of their season, and the Steelers were without a backup running back. So, or without their primary running back. They had to go with their backup running back. It's not going to save anything, really. And it will also add more penalties on plays where players don't get hurt. And I think that, you know, not that it's fair, but that's going to infuriate fans even more. So I think in a year, you're going to wonder what it is, because we're going to have a lot of instances in which this doesn't look like what they told you you couldn't do. Because now it's not you're dropping your hips. Now they're going to grab onto the guy and just let their legs fall forward, you know, and slide down and get to his ankle. He's going to gain 7 yards doing it, but I don't know what else the defender is supposed to do. And that player either isn't going to play anymore, or they're going to do it the way that would stop them where they stood and get a 15-yard penalty. So it's another problem for the league as far as definition. But the practice of it is where the confusion is really going to come, and I think we're going to see that quite often this season.
All right. So the question is, now I realize that a lot of these rules are trying to keep the sport alive and to keep scrutiny down on the violence of it, right? So I do understand that completely. Are they tinkering too much with the game, or again, is this something we have to wait a year?
I think we can wait a year, though I will say this happens less frequently than guys getting hit in the head. And what happened in that, call this the James Harrison rebuke, when the NFL really decided to start enforcing those rules back in 2010, there was a dramatic change in the game because it happened as frequently as it did. I don't know if this is more ornamental than something that would actually really... Yes, there are examples of guys breaking ankles, spraining ankles, whatever, from this technique. And it makes sense, you know, why they would want to outlaw it in the name of safety. I don't know how often it really happens, but it's another issue with the NFL is so often there are so many things that don't happen very much that now have to be put under the microscope. And it makes you wonder now, is this going to become a bigger deal because they're going to call something that's close to it what it is, when in reality it might not be anything at all. This isn't the hit that they're trying to take out of the game. This isn't the result that they intended. And the NFL's been doing that for 14 years now, in my opinion. I think ultimately they need to show something that would give fans the confidence they're able to enforce this. And it is something that takes away from the game. And there is a solution that's better if they work on it. Because I really think that's what's happened to hits in the head and neck area. They still happen. You can understand why they wouldn't want them to continue. There are ramifications for that. Players will complain about it, but if you watch a game from 15 years ago compared to now, you see a significant impact in it. They're really not as you know, kind of needlessly destructive as they used to be. And with that, it makes sense. They say that the number of concussions are on the decline. I can see that in the game now. And if that's their end result, then they're successful with it. I just don't think that this in particular, it doesn't rise to that level. I don't know how often it's going to happen, but the main issue here is the fact that it happens to receivers in particular, especially in the middle of the field or running down the sideline, running backs, and quarterbacks potentially. So, it shows the NFL's willingness to try to protect or put up a level of protection for the guys throwing and catching passes. And it kind of doesn't really seem to suggest that they're into the balance of the game, and that in and of itself is going to be a problem.
Opening game in Brazil with the Eagles will be on Peacock. Playoff game will go to Amazon. And two games on Christmas Day on a Wednesday. Your thoughts?
That's going to weird me out. Wednesday football. It sounds like something from a movie.
I know.
I purely a ratings play. I mean, it makes sense. Are they going to put the Christmas Day games on Peacock? That'll bring them in.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to hear the players' response to that. I don't know. We'll see. From what I read of it briefly, the four teams that will be involved would play the previous Saturday, so it really is kind of like a Sunday to Thursday setup for them, which, you know, we can get into whether or not they should be, but they have been for a while now. Maybe with that as well, these teams don't have a Thursday night game during the season. Mm-hmm. Right. If that's how they work it out, I mean, it makes sense. I really don't think it's that big of a deal in the end. Especially if it's like, look, you don't want them to play on 3 days rest as opposed to four. If you're not doing that, I don't really see much of a difference, and it's a longer mini bye for them after it. So
right.
there is something beneficial that comes from it, and obviously there's a big Christmas Day market. I would say this overall, honestly, I'm glad it's not three games. If it was a Sunday, it'd be three games. So yeah. It'd be a lot more than three games, and that gets in the way of things Christmas-wise. They don't need to occupy the entire holiday. I could see a primetime game. I don't think they need even two, but two is better than three for sure.
Oh, they don't need to occupy the holiday? Oh, Neil, this is the NFL. They occupy whatever they want.
So somebody who's not an NFL employee is saying that, obviously. We can see that now. They know that. They know that they can print money. They know that they could have, you know, if they wanted to, figure out a sub-league to play in the days that their main league doesn't play. If they want to do that, they could. They like to keep it where they are as long as the cash continues to flow in, as long as they continue to grow. This is why they're playing in Brazil. They want more fans. This is why the Steelers and the Colts are now licensed to sell merchandise in Germany. I wasn't aware that they weren't allowed to do that. But now they can go, you know, occupy Central Europe. They're trying to go for that market. And they're spreading certain teams around. I think the only reason the Colts are involved is because they have a guy from Germany on the team. I'm not sure if he's any good or not. I've never heard of him, though. So they're trying to grow an international market, and they're trying to be everywhere that they can, and if that's what a business would normally do, it makes sense. Without expanding the league itself, I wonder how much further they could really go You need more teams. You need more players. And to do that, you're going to need to develop more. And you don't want to add four main-level teams, but at what point do you start looking at, you know, Premier League soccer, you know, soccer in England, having multiple tiers of leagues that all feed into each other? You know, at what point do you really want to dominate, set up something that you can develop, you can control, and, you know, obviously invest more dollars in it, but bring in more brand awareness, bring in more of a product, and have your players under control for longer, you know, give fans more of an opportunity to see them. I really feel like they keep going after the international market. That's what this is going to end up being, just a more connected, souped-up version of NFL Europe. And I feel like that's something that could survive if the NFL did it in a way that it was actively connected with their current team. My useless two cents, no one's paying me for marketing work as far as the NFL is concerned, but you're going to the lengths to have as much of your product everywhere as you can. You may as well do both.
Might as well. All I know is it's going to get to Christmas Day, and I will watch. All right, so.
Truth. I'll be there.
I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. Like, oh, this is disgraceful. And the same person that says it's disgraceful will end up watching the game. All right, Neil. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate you so much. The best.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong, half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They may go with bundles. They overstay lines where permissible. They just want to save you money while making sure you're fully insured, because guess what? To them, the big part is customer service. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK from the Sunbury Motor Studio.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Add Plume Ho Home Wi-Fi free for 2 months from SECV. Plume spreads Wi-Fi from your existing modem to every corner of your home at full speed. Plume doesn't just make your Wi-Fi faster. It intelligently adapts to your environment and manages your Wi-Fi network 24/7 based on insights like the number and types of devices you have connected. The Plume Home Pass app gives you perks like parental controls, always-on cyber protection against online threats, in-home motion sensing, and more. Get Plume 2 months free from SECV. Visit secv.com/freeplume.
Who doesn't need to save on their grocery bill? We invite you to come and explore the many grocery items at below wholesale prices at Surplus Outlet. If you haven't checked out your local Surplus Outlet, you're missing out on the savings that could go right into your pocket. Hello, this is Justin Michaels here at Surplus Outlet, and we have what you're looking for in brand name products at prices below the big box stores. Surplus Outlet savings really add up, saving you money that you can put towards things that make you happy, weekend adventures for the family, and maybe even a treat for yourself. If you love a bargain, get ready to stock up. Day in and day out, we give you our lowest prices and many brand products at below wholesale prices. Easter will be here before you know it, and Surplus Outlet has you covered with all your Easter holiday needs. Stop in the Surplus Outlet today for a great selection of national brand candy at unbeatable prices. Surplus Outlet has a great selection of fresh hams, along with all your holiday meal sides and desserts. Surplus Outlet's here to help your Easter holiday budget go far.
Surplus Outlet, Route 11 Northumberland and Route 15 Montgomery. Sign up for Facebook and email alerts for additional special savings. Do it today.
CBS News Brief. President Biden confirms the feds have ruled out terrorism in the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Everything so far indicates that this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here.
The bridge crumbled after a cargo ship slammed into it overnight. The president says federal resources will help rebuild it. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's calling for more humanitarian aid to be delivered into Gaza as he meets with his Israeli counterpart today in Washington.
Gaza is suffering a humanitarian catastrophe, and the situation is getting even worse.
Don't bother telling people it's spring because it is still snowing in Minnesota. Isabel Torelli's in Duluth.
Yeah, my first time since snow. It's amazing, I think. It's all white and a little cold.
Winter storm warnings are still in effect across much of the state today. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the final half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Service department, whether it's routine or difficult, they handle it. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So the Friday night game to open the season for the Eagles will be in Brazil. That game is going to be on Peacock. All right. They are going to go with two Christmas Day games. Now, remember last year, Christmas Day was on a Monday. And we pointed out that Christmas Day 2024 was going to be on a Wednesday. And I said back then, I can see the NFL putting a game on that Wednesday. I was only partially right. They're going to put two games on Wednesday. Two. Imagine if you're the NBA. The NBA has owned Christmas Day for years. They really have used it as a showcase to get everybody aware of what was going on in the NBA. And the NFL has just walked right in and they have just stolen the day. Again, they're not going to put one, they're going to put two on a Wednesday on Christmas Day. And then the year after that, and the year after that, it just falls naturally in the schedule. Christmas is going to be a Thursday in 2025. Christmas is going to be a Friday in 2026. It's easy at that point. The only challenge really is Wednesday. Hey, Tuesday's sort of a challenge. Just want to push back, not play it on Monday night. You can. But they're going to put two games on. The playoff game, which had been on Peacock last year, will be on Amazon this upcoming season. So, and by the way, Amazon has to pay an extra $110 million for it. But they'll do it. Again, you can write anything you want. The wild card game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins on Peacock averaged approximately $23 million viewers, which the NFL said set a record for most streamed live event in U.S. history. True. But if you don't mind, let's take a look at the ratings of the other games that weren't on Peacock. They were all in the 35 to 40 million range. Essentially, you lost 14 million viewers by putting it on Peacock. I'm sorry, over here in the back, yeah, if you have the ability to add and subtract, you can come up with what is actually the story. That's not the story. That's a record for a streaming event. Well, that's nice. That's adorable. You also lost 14 million viewers that wanted to see the game that refused to stream it. That's a story, too. Saturday night primetime, they'd have had probably 37 million viewers. That's not as fun a story, though, is it, Todd?
No, it's not.
But again, the PR department will put it out, and I don't blame them. They're in the PR department. They're going to put it out like that, and they should. That's their job. I have no problem with that, but that's not the reality of it. Okay, you can have two facts in play here. The reality is, yes, they got 23 million viewers. Awesome. That is a record for the most streamed live event in U.S. history. True, yes. Did you lose 14 million viewers by doing this? Yeah. That's a story, too, you know. How many didn't? Not how many did, but also the other story is how many didn't? What were the averages for the other games?
Hey, Steve, I have Randy from Danville on the line.
Hey, Randy, how are you, buddy? Great to hear from you. A long time no hear. Okay, the show needs intelligence. You're it.
Hey, I'm glad you had John Prado on, Steve.
Isn't he great?
His wife and my wife are first cousins, and I see John at family gatherings, once a year, twice a year, and he is a very quiet man. You have to pry information out of him as far as even sports. And, you know, he gets on your show, and I guess it's the interviewer. You got a lot more out of him than I ever did.
Well, you know, Randy, there's a real skill to this job. Sure.
But he
sure.
He's just a real quiet guy. When I heard he was on today near the beginning of the show, John? And then he revealed that his wife grew up in Sunbury. I said, That's John Prado.
Yeah.
So it was nice to hear him talk about the Pirates.
Oh, he did a great job. I mean, he really gave a pretty good overall viewpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, and part of it too is, I mean, it does help when you're like I know Bednar is sitting out. I know that Davis is going from right field to catcher and he's improved. I mean, things like that that John can talk about.
Yeah. Right. The questions that I had for you, Steve, this morning or this afternoon was the big men in the NCAAs. Now, I know you had some nice thing to say about Klingon of UConn.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when they were in the Big East tournament, and I think it was the final, and I forget who they played, Steve. Do you remember?
I'm trying to think if they played Marquette. That's
what I was thinking. Maybe Marquette. But anyway, my point is, Klingon, he seemed like he had lead in his shoes. He just looked like he didn't have any legs in that game. And I wondered if you watched him, and he just didn't have any pep.
Yeah, and it was Marquette, by the way. It was Marquette.
Okay.
All right, so you got to remember, for a guy like Klingon, you're playing in the Big East tournament. Conference tournaments are different than the situation they're in right now. When you're playing a third game in a third day, a kid like that may have lead in his feet because it's three games in 3 days, as opposed to play a game, get an off day, play a game, then get three off days, and then play another game. So I think that's going to enter into it. I will say this. This tells you – now, Edie is an older player than Klingon. Klingon is a sophomore. So he's 19 years old, right?
Yep.
Edie's a little older. He's been through the strength and conditioning program how many times now at Purdue? And you can see the kind of shape he is in now because Edie played like that 2 years ago.
Yep. Okay. Well, I wanted to also add that DJ Burns of North Carolina State.
Yeah.
To me, I didn't focus on his defense so much, but his offense. He is a really good player, and he's one of the reasons that they're in there. You know, they're in the hunt. But I was very impressed with him as a big man in the end in college football, college basketball, Division One.
Well, Randy, this is what he can do. Okay, he is very good at posting up, and he can use his backside to get himself positioned underneath, which has always been the big thing about, you know, being in the post. You have to be able to get and establish your position. He does that.
Yeah.
Next, a guy that especially, okay, most guys are right-handed. Well, he's left-handed.
Yeah.
So when he's going there and a defender is used to defending the left shoulder, with him you have to defend the right shoulder, and his touch is so soft off the glass. I mean, he really has a soft touch high off the glass, gives it a chance to put it in. But here's the other part. He knows how to play, Randy, because when they run the double at him, he is an excellent passer out of the post.
That's the other thing. Yeah. He is a great passer. Yeah.
You know, you know, he's a big kid. There's no doubt about that. And I give him credit. He doesn't look like he should be playing more than 25 minutes a game.
Yeah, that's the third thing. I saw him so winded.
They claim he's 6'9", 275 pounds. There's no way he's 200. I mean, Edie is 7'4", 300. This kid's 6'9", 275?
Yeah.
Sure he is.
That's the three things I noticed about him: is his touch on offense, of course, he gets winded, you know, he needs to sit on the bench once in a while, and you know, his passing. I thought those three things really stood out to me.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that was, you know, that was what was so interesting about him, because of everything you talked about. That he is a kind of guy that has a propensity to get, quote, winded. Okay. Right. I mean, he does that.
Yeah.
He did. Now he was at Winthrop before he played at NC State. He actually started at Tennessee and he redshirted. He went to Winthrop for 3 years, but when Penn State played Winthrop to open the season a year ago, he was already at NC State, so he did not play against Penn State.
Okay. Does he have another year left?
With the COVID year, he does have a COVID year remaining.
Yeah.
And I think he can come back, even though it would be his sixth year, because he did not play a single game at Tennessee as a freshman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine the NBA would be a team would have like to have him on the team.
What do you think? The NBA is a different proposition, Randy. Look at Sanogo, who was the most outstanding player in last year's Final Four from UConn. He decided not to come back. He goes to the NBA. Now, this is the MOP, and he was outstanding in last year's tournament, right? He's the MOP of the Final Four. He ended up signing as a free agent with the Bulls, and he's on a two-way contract with the Bulls, and he's played in four games this year with the Bulls, other games with the Windy City Bulls out in Hoffman Estates. Andrew Funk's played in one game with the Bulls. He's only played in three fewer games in the Bulls than Sanogo has, and he was the MOP last year. Guys that size, unless they have a face-up game, you have to have a face-up game in the NBA, and I mean face-up. He's got to be able to step out in that 18 to 22-foot range to hit shots. That's not his deal. That's not his bag. And I think that that's going to be the part that is going to, right, hurt him. Now, look, I mean, Burns was the Big South Player of the Year 2 years ago. So, I mean, you know, when he decided to transfer, everybody wanted him. But the question is, at the next level plays such a different game. And remember, it's also the next level includes a lot of European players being in the draft.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, and those Europeans can shoot from anywhere.
Right.
They're good passers. They understand the game. They're better at the fundamentals, I think. I mean, look at the big center in Denver.
Jokic.
He was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
He was good. He is really good.
Jokic does
everything
that Burns or Edie should be. And they're not going to be Jokic. But Jokic and Luka Doncic of Dallas are two guys that are bigger players that play out in the perimeter, can play inside, can shoot outside, can pass. Now, Burns can pass. He's an excellent passer. But if you're putting him out there, he's going to be wide open when he's out there because there's a reason he's wide open. Okay? All right? So, I mean, now look, the kid is multi-talented, okay? All right? I mean, he's an outstanding musician, you know.
Oh.
He can play the piano, the saxophone, the tuba. I mean, he actually is a multifaceted, multi-talented guy. I just don't think it translates to the NBA.
No. But Mike Reed did.
Yep. Mike Reed was quick to get people out of the way. He was a football player.
Concert pianist, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he plays guitar. I don't know what all he can play, but yep.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Randy. What a pleasure. And it was great to draw John out today.
I'm glad that you had him on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
We'll come back in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when it comes to the NBA draft about these guys. I mean, there's going to be 58 spots again this year. More mock drafts are now showing Zach Edey in there. None of them are showing DJ Burns, by the way. But that doesn't mean you don't go through the combine. Like, for example, Khalil Ware. I mean, Indiana's not in the NCAA tournament, but Ware is a seven-footer, can face up. I mean, it's... Now, and Donovan Klingon is a kid. I expect him to come out of the draft. He's going to be a first-round pick. Even though he's a big kid, a first-round pick. But as Randy pointed out, against Marquette, it looked like he was running in mud. And I think that's 3 games in 3 days. I think that does come into play, as opposed to the NCAA tournament where you have a gap. That's why I tell everybody all the time, postseason, you normally, it's not perfect, but normally see better officiating because they aren't traveling all over the country. I mean, some of these guys are working 5 games a week, and suddenly you're working 2. And the guys that work on Thursday, whomever grades out the best of the people on Thursday, will be the ones that officiate the game on Saturday. Staying in the same spot, same hotel, no need to travel. They're more rested. It makes a big difference. Same thing for the players. Players are better rested in the NCAA tournament than they are in a conference tournament. In the NCAA tournament, you play on a Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, right? Don't have to go anywhere. Stay in the same spot, same hotel, the whole deal. Oh, and by the way, the timeouts are longer in the NCAA tournament, and you get an extra timeout in the first half that you don't have in the regular season. Because, you know, the first timeout called by the coach in the second half is a long timeout as an extra. Well, in the NCAA tournament, the first time a coach calls a timeout in the first half goes into a long timeout, just like the second half. So instead of getting 9 guaranteed timeouts per game, you get 10, and the timeouts are longer in the NCAA tournament. It's like, I remember last year we're out, I think, in Des Moines, and Dick and I took our time going into the break, and we're getting the hurry-up signal. We're like, yo, we got time. Then we came back from it, and we still had like 45 seconds. We're like, we got time. We may not have done a lot of these, but we know how it works.
I make that signal all the time, but you can't see me.
Oh, I know you do. I can tell by osmosis.
I imagine the suits in his office making that motion too sometimes.
Yeah, but I deliberately go longer sometimes just to freak him out. And it's very effective.
I bet it is.
He's in there with a bag breathing the entire 2 hours.